I mean it. There really is a wonderful spirit here. And listen. Listen, you've been in churches. You've been in this church where it hasn't been so. Amen? I've been in churches where it hasn't been so. Didn't necessarily mean there was sin. Just, boy, God's just doing wonderful things here. And I'm glad to be part of it. Amen. Glad to be in it. Look at Psalm 103, if you would. Our title of our message tonight, and I've been looking forward to preaching this since the Lord gave it to me. Our title is The Heavenly Benefit Package. When I was 18 years old, back in the Stone Age, amen. Yeah, some of you are really laughing because you lived before the Stone Age, amen. And I remember what it was, Brother Becker. I remember there was a man who came through our school, and I went to a vocational school, took machine shop, but I couldn't cut a finish on a part, so I ended up becoming the inspector the rest of my life, amen. And I remember going through, and he came, and he said, "Would you consider going to our apprenticeship program at Hamilton Standard?" It was a United Technologies company in Connecticut. It was in Windsor Locks, about 30 minutes from where I live. It would be the equivalent in Michigan of working for Chrysler or Ford or GM. Large company. And so in 1990, I applied, and it was a rather difficult process, and they selected 20 people out of 1,000, and I was one of them. And I remember at 18 years old getting a sheet in the mail, and it said, "Congratulations, Richard. You have been accepted into the apprenticeship program. You will be making $9.72 an hour." 18 years old. Okay? Looked at that, went, did the Tom and Jerry eyes. They popped right out. Amen? "And you will receive full benefits." Okay, so here I was at 18 years old. I had full medical benefits, full dental benefits, had an incredible amount of work done on my teeth, and just, it was an unbelievable drawing card. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That was a drawing card, even still, to getting employment. Benefits, okay? Here in the second verse of our psalm, look at it with me. And this psalm is really, if you want a good title for it, you could call it The Music of a Praising Soul. Because that's what it is. Six times you find the term, bless the Lord. Look at verse 1. "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Verse 2. "Bless the Lord, all my soul." Verse number 20. "Bless the Lord, ye His angels." Verse 21. "Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts." Verse 22. You see it twice. "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul." But we see the heavenly benefit package here in verse number 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Do you know why God tells us to forget not all His benefits? Because He knows it's our tendency to forget. Listen, I never thought about dental benefits while I was working at Hamilton Standard. Never thought about how much anything costs. It's $10 every time you go in, Brother Boston. Boy, those were the days, amen. I'll tell you that. $10, I got crowns and caps and fillings and all that kind of stuff, and it was $10. Boy, you do that now, and it's thousands and thousands of dollars. He tells us here, forget not, because He knows it's our tendency to forget. That's just the way we are. What are some of the benefits of being a child of God? And listen, when I say child of God, let me tell you exactly what I mean. There was a time in your life that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Matter of fact, hold your spot here in Psalms and go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Take a big right turn in the New Testament. You go past Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then you come to the little book of Ephesians chapter 1. We looked at this in Sunday school today, and sometimes, again, like the word says here, we can forget. And this gives us the process of getting saved, right, in Ephesians chapter 1. And so you're here today, and maybe you haven't lived the Christian life like some people think you could. It doesn't mean you're not saved. Somebody say, listen, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you didn't grow, and you certainly should grow, amen. But if you go into 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about we're given precious promises, and then we're partakers of the divine nature. And then God says this, add to your faith virtue. Into virtue, knowledge, into knowledge, temperance, into temperance, godliness, into godliness, brotherly kindness. And then after that it says, for if he that lacketh these things and blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means it's possible to forget about it if you don't grow. Amen? I believe there's a lot of Christians out there, out of church, not partaking, and they've just forgotten that they're saved. It doesn't mean that they're not. It just means they forgot. The process is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And then it tells us how it happens. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Nobody gets saved without the word of God. In some way, shape, or form, I don't care if it's on a billboard, I don't care if it's on a television, I had the privilege this week by a hospital bed to lead a man to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I didn't have my New Testament on me, Brother Horst, but I had a gospel track. And on that gospel track, it had the plan of salvation. You open it up here, it's got some nice things about our church, and then right here it says, do you know for sure heaven will be your home? And there's the verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, nobody gets saved without the Word of God. If you got saved, it was because somebody or something gave you the Word of God. And then it says in the verse 13, in whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard the word. It says, in that also after ye believed. Okay? You believed. You heard the word and you said, that's for me. I remember being in the pew with my long, rebellious hair and thinking as the preacher was giving the invitation and he talked about being a sinner and being on your way to hell, and I was both of those things. And I remember thinking, Brother Kelly, when he said, but Jesus will save you. He'll take away all your sins. He'll give you a home in heaven. I remember thinking, that sounds like a good deal to me. You believed. You know, most people are saved right there in the pew before they ever come down front here. Before they're ever dealt with, they believe. Now, we like to be thorough and make sure, amen? But they believe. You believe. And then it says this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We talked about it this morning. Just like you take the contents of an envelope and seal it up and send it off on its way. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know what that tells me? You can guarantee we're going to get to our destination. The Holy Spirit sealed us. So if you're here tonight and you've heard the word, you believed, you've been sealed, you are a child of God, and you may not know you had these benefits, but you do. I remember getting the benefit package. We were with Cigna, which is an insurer out of Hartford. And they give you this benefit package, and it's about this thick of all the benefits that you have. Hey, can I tell you this? God gave us a manual about His benefits. It's about this thick, amen? It's all in here. There's so many good things. Let me just give you just a few in our text tonight. And literally, you could take this and develop it into a series of messages. But let me give you, if I could, seven things, Brother Hendershot. Seven things, amen? Seven benefits that we could see tonight that we have. Look, if you would, at verse 3. Back in Psalms chapter 103. The heavenly benefit package. The first thing we see is in verse 3. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Then verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know, the first benefit we have is we are criminals that have been pardoned. I'm not a criminal. Listen, I've never done anything wrong. You've sinned. For all have and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, listen, we're all sinners. We're criminals that have been pardoned. How about that? Pardoned. Look down, if you would, at verse number 10. Oh, these verses, I'll tell you what. If these verses don't light your fire, your wood's wet or the pilot light is out. One or the other, amen. Verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Oh, that, listen, we've been pardoned. We're criminals that deserve punishment. And He's pardoned us. I don't know about you, I try to be a discerning parent. I really do. I try. My kids, and they're wonderful, amen. It was great to see them today up there. Just to see Eric picking on his brother. Do you do wrong? Yes, he does, he pointed. I love that. Very true. And so does Eric, by the way. But I try to be discerning about meeting out punishment, Brother Brandon. Because there's times when it's necessary. And there's other times where you want to teach him, Brother Apple, about mercy. I want to teach him about mercy, what it is to be merciful. You know what? I'm glad God doesn't spank me every time I disappoint Him. I'm glad He doesn't wear me now. He chastens me with His Word. Thank God for that. Amen. But I'm glad He doesn't mete out the judgment every time like He certainly could. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, one of the benefits of being a child of God is we're criminals that have been pardoned. You read, and we're going to look at it in just a little bit, but you read Ephesians chapter 2, how it talks about the children of disobedience, and God tells us, don't be partakers of their sins, because the reason that their the wrath cometh upon them is because they're children of disobedience. And really the inference there is that the wrath should come upon you and I too, but somebody else took it for us. Somebody else took it for us. We're criminals that have been pardoned. Something else. Look at verse 3. It says there, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And by the way, it's a good study in this chapter to take the word all and circle it. Circle it over. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Down in verse 22, bless the Lord, all His works in all places. Amen. He says here, who healeth all thy diseases. We're not only criminals that have been pardoned, we're patients that have been cured. Patients that have been cured. How many of you have known someone, perhaps, that had cancer and got cured? Boy, look at that, all over. Stories told about a preacher who went in to see a little boy, young man, 10 years old, who had leukemia. And he went in to talk to that young man, and he sat down with him with his Bible, and he said, the young boy looked at the preacher, and he said, preacher, I'm going to die. And the preacher looked at him, he said, well, son, do you know what happens to a person after you die? He said, no. He said, do you know, have you ever heard about Jesus Christ? He said, no. He said, what do you know about the Bible? He said, nothing. And so that preacher just sat at the bedside and asked him, could I take my Bible and show you what happens to people after they die? And he said, yes. And he, as many times we do, and thank God for this, thank God that He uses the foolishness of preaching. Thank God that He doesn't, it's not because of the cunningness of our words, but the preacher went and he kind of stumbled and bumbled through the plan of salvation. How many of you have been there? Amen. Right. By the way, it seems like when I go through it perfectly, the person doesn't want to get saved. But when I stumble and bumble, just like this little boy, he said, do you understand what I've read you? He said, yes. He said, would you like to ask Jesus to be your Savior? And he said, yes. And the man kind of said, you would? Because he thought he had messed it all up. And he sat there with that boy and he trusted Christ. And the little boy knew he was going to die. And so the preacher left and he came back a couple days later and he didn't see the boy. He didn't see him. And he said, well, I guess I got here just in time. And then he was walking out the hallway and he saw him. And his name was Todd. And he looked at him. He said, "Todd, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm cured. I'm cured. I don't have what they said I had." Do you know, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this about Jesus. Go with me. Go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. I want you to see this verse. I was going to just quote it, but boy, look at it yourself if you would. Isaiah 53, 5. Look at verse 4, too. Oh, there's so much in here. Look at verse 4. It said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're patients that have been cured. You say, "But people still do get sick, Pastor. Not everybody gets cured." That's right, but every child of God is going to get cured one day. There is going to be no more sickness. There is going to be no more death. There is going to be no more cancer. There is going to be no more crippled children. We're all going to be patients that have been healed. Patients that have been healed. We're criminals that have been pardoned. Look at the next verse back in Psalm 103. I like this one. Psalms chapter 103, verse 4. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." We're not only criminals that have been pardoned. We're not only patients that have been cured, but a third benefit is we're slaves that have been bought back. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" Well, ever since the fall of man, man has been a slave to sin. Man has been, we looked at in Sunday school again this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, talks about being subject all their lifetime to the bondage of the fear of death. And that's why Jesus came, to destroy him that hath the power over death, that is the devil. But here, we look at it, and it says that he redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, the story of the book of Ruth is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. Just a little four-chapter book, and it's all about redemption. Being redeemed. Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. And you know who Jesus Christ is? He is our kinsman redeemer. It's the reason he came, was for you and I. He came to redeem us, to buy us back. And when he died on the cross and shed his blood, he gave everybody the opportunity to be redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child in forever I am. Redeemed. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." It tells us that we've been bought. 1 Peter tells us what bought us, amen? "Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb," Brother Sammons, "as a lamb without spot and without wrinkle." See, we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." If you got the right kind of Bible, it says "through His blood." If you don't have the right kind of Bible, stop by the bookstore afterwards, because it should say "through His blood." Amen. We're slaves that have been redeemed. We're patients that have been cured. We're criminals that have been pardoned. Look at verse number 4. This is amazing. It says, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." We're peasants that have been crowned royalty. We're peasants that have been crowned royalty. You know, in the book of Revelation, and we studied the book of Revelation 2 years ago. Wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. And you come to the end and you find something in Revelation chapter 20. You'll see the term thousand years, thousand years, thousand years, thousand years. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. And it says this in there. It says, and will live and reign with Christ a thousand years. But Brother Jim, we're just peasants. But you know what? Because of God's heavenly benefit package, we're royalty. My Father is rich in houses or lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hands. Of rubies, of silver, of diamonds and gold, His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Stories told in a bygone day about a little boy who delivered papers. And every day he would go past this big mansion where the lawn was manicured, where the house was perfect. They had servants, and he saw a couple in their 40s that didn't have any children. And he would just dream about living in that house and playing in that yard. And he had nobody. He was an orphan, just delivering papers. And one day, by the movement of the Spirit of God, he knocked on that door. And the man came to the door, the man of the house. And he opened up that big wooden door and he looked at him. And he said, "Mister, do you have a little boy?" And the man said, "No, Mrs. Smith and I don't have a little boy." He looked at him, he said, "Could I be your little boy?" And Mr. Smith called Mrs. Smith down, and they'd wanted a child for years but weren't able to have one. And like I said, this is a different day, folks. Didn't have to go through the red tape of Washington and Uncle Sam. They said, "Of course you can come in and be our boy. And all that we have, you can play here, you can live here, you can eat at our table, you can run freely in this yard. Our yard's your yard, our house is your house. Hey, you know what? We're children of the King. We're children of the King, amen. When we trusted Christ, He said, all that I have is yours." We're peasants that have been crowned royalty. Sounds like a good benefit package so far. There's a few more in here, amen. Boy, I like this one, verse 5. It says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." How about this? "We're guests at a banquet that have been given more than enough." We're guests that at a banquet that have been given more than enough. It says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." You know, the world is never satisfied. The man of the world, Brother Lem, is never satisfied. He just got to have more and more and more and more and more. He's never satisfied. I know when I was lost, I was never satisfied. Had to have more. Had to have more. Had to have more of this. Had to have more liquor. You had to have more drugs. You had to have more immorality. More, 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 more. God says here, we're guests at a banquet that have been given more than enough. How do you know what it is to be at the table of an old-fashioned mother? Raise your hand. How many of you know what it is to be at the table of somebody else's old-fashioned mother? Okay, thank you. Now, you wouldn't believe this, but when I was young, I was shaped a lot like Pastor Donald. Skinny, amen? Just skinny. And you go over to this person's house, and the mother say, sometimes in an old-world accent, either Polish or Italian, or, "You're so skinny. You need to eat more." And they push this food at you. And you say, "Oh, I'm so full." It's, "No, no, no. You eat more. You eat more. You have some more." How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hey, that's what this is talking about here. It says, you know what? We're satisfied with what God gives us. We're guests at a banquet that we've been given more than. Literally, we say, "I'm so full, God. Thank you so much. I'm so full." And God says, "There's more whenever you want it." I'll tell you what. And I like what it says there. It says there, "He satisfieth thy mouth with good things." You know, the devil never really gives anybody any real fun. There's always a hook at the end of his string. But with God, it's only good things. Only good things. We're children, or we're guests at a banquet that have been given more than enough. Number six, look at verse 10. Oh, actually, verse 9, 10, there's so many here. You know what, I'll just give you the point and then read some of the verses. We're children that have been cared for by a tender father. It's a benefit. We're children that have been cared for by a tender father. Look at verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. You say, what does he do there as a tender father? He chastens us. He chastens us. Something else, look at verse 10. Oh, this is just, it says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What do you see there, Pastor? I see He deals with us in kindness. Just like you would deal with your child, just like I would deal with my child, kindness. Then, oh, this verse, verse 13. This verse, last year I read this verse and God absolutely smote my heart. It said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Pity. Our Heavenly Father gives us pity. And I mentioned sometimes as dads we're not quite as, well, I guess the term would be, we're not quite as pitiful as we should be. Some people would say, oh no, you're very pitiful, amen. That's not what I'm talking about, amen. Remember the time my wife came to me and she stubbed her toe. She was walking outside in the grass and she stubbed her toe. And I looked at her, Mrs. Kirkland, I said, who does that? And then the day later, I kid you not, this is just God's sense of humor. I'm walking in the back of where we lived, and there was a gigantic cement stair, and I was walking, and I went, pow! And I went, oh, and I hopped in the house, and I said, my toe, I stubbed my toe. My wife goes, well, who does that? Not very pitiful, honey. She said, just trying to be like you, dear. Amen. Do you know God never does that? When we make a mess out of our lives, and we do, the Bible says, as a father pitieth his child, when that little child comes to you and they're really hurting, you pick them up in your arms and you say, it's going to be okay, sweetie. It's going to be okay. And you know what? God does the same thing. It's going to be okay. I know it doesn't seem it right now, and I know you can't understand it, but it's okay, I'm here for you. Oh boy, I'll tell you what, we're children that have been blessed, that have been cared for by a tender father. Look at verse 14. It says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know what that tells me? He's understanding. See, I don't know about you, but on a daily basis, I fail God. On a daily basis. So, well, you're our pastor. I don't think we could have a pastor that's a failure. Good luck finding one that's not. If he says he is, watch out, because he's lying. Amen? God understands. God knows that we're just dust. By the way, he knows because he made us out of the dust. He understands. Listen, by the way, that's not an excuse for you to get lazy on God. It's not an excuse for you to disobey God. But it's the understanding of God that knows you are trying, you are striving. You're trying to read your Bible every day. You're trying to be the best mom you could be. You're trying to be the best dad you could be. You're trying to be a good student or just a good teenager or whatever, and you fail. He understands. He understands. And He doesn't stop loving you. We're criminals that have been pardoned. That's a benefit. We're patients that have been cured. That's a benefit. We're slaves that have been bought back. What a benefit. We're peasants that have been declared royalty. Benefit. Guests at a banquet that have been given more than enough. Benefit. Children that have been cared for by a tender father. Let me give you the last benefit. Go with me over to, well, let's go to the New Testament. Let's look up a few verses here. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll probably just stop right there and quote the others, but Hebrews chapter 11. I love the Word of God. My goodness, it's so rich. It meets our every need, helps us. Look, if you would, at verse number... look at verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, Hall of Faith. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Lastly tonight, the last benefit that we're going to see is we're pilgrims that have been given a home. We're pilgrims that have been given a home. One of the great blessings for my wife and I when we came here with our little family was that you folks provided us a home. We'd never had a home. We were always in transition. I got saved in 1995. We got married in 1996. Went to Bible college in 1997. Came back to New England in 2001. Worked in a ministry for 5 years. And then worked a job as well. And then worked in another ministry about 50 miles away for 3 years. And so we had literally bounced and bounced and bounced. And of God's direction, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. But we never had a home. And I remember when we came, and I'll never forget, I'll always be grateful to Brother Jim Jones and Brother Bill Horsch. Always be grateful to them. Because when we came, we saw the home we wanted. Carrie and I saw it. It was on Hamlin Place. Oh, it was one first home we looked at, Brother Horsch. You remember? We had that weekend where we candidated and we looked at some houses and we looked at other houses and they weren't it. This was the one we wanted. It was $85,000. Everything in it was new. But we didn't feel like it was right to put $1,000 down before you folks had voted us in as pastor. Amen. If you said, "Nah, I don't think so," we're out $1,000. Amen. And so we went in Monday morning, got ready to write on the, and they said, "Somebody put in an offer." And we went, "Oh." And my wife was out to here with Luke. So we weren't coming back unless it was coming back all the way. So my wife went online and she was looking at houses like you can nowadays. Praise God for that. And we sent in Brother Jones, who offered because he was a builder. And we sent in Brother Horsch because he's got class. Amen. I mean that. Everything Brother Horsch has is classy. Amen. And Brother Jones, in the same way, just knows good stuff when he sees it. And they went in and they said, "Pastor, we really feel like this will be the home for you. It's solid. It's a nice home." And many of you have been in our home. We're so grateful for it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, here on the earth, we're just pilgrims. We're just pilgrims. Problem with a lot of Christians is they're sticking their tent pegs too deep in this earth. Got too much, got too many possessions, got too many things. Not doing enough for God because you don't realize we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. Listen, when I go back to New England to see friends or family or all that, and we stop in a little rest area, Brother Leonard, we don't start breaking out furniture because we're not staying. You know what? We're not staying. Us pilgrims, one of the benefits we have is He's got an eternal home for us. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll end with this scripture. I was reading this the other day in my devotions and God just pointed something out. Don't you love it when he does that, by the way? You're having devotions. The devotion was completely about something else. And God said, look at this. Of course, here we have the testimony of how we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we did used to walk in the course of this world, but God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Look down at verse 7, and it tells us His purpose here. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You say, what did God show you there, Pastor? I know this. His grace is sure wonderful now. His riches to us are sure wonderful now. But in the ages to come, we're really going to see it. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Psalms 16:11 says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Think of the best day of your life, and it'll be the worst day in heaven. I'll tell you what, I love the best days of my life. I love the days when my children are born. I love the days when I married my wife. I love the days when I proposed to my wife. I love those great days of life. Graduation day, some of you are experiencing. But listen, it won't even compare. Heaven's going to be like that all the time for all eternity. Pretty good benefit package. I think I'd be willing to sign on the dotted line if I hadn't. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Why throw away all those benefits? There's not a good reason you could come up with. Those benefits are so good and they're all eternal. They last forever. Father,